Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, this is Paul Chappell, and I want to introduce you to Striving Together Publications, the publications ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. Our desire is to strive together for the faith of the gospel with you and other like-minded Christians as we provide sound biblical resources for your spiritual growth. At strivingtogether.com, you will find a growing collection of outstanding books, Sunday school curriculum for all ages, conservative Christian music, outreach and discipleship resources, and many other tools for your personal and spiritual growth. You'll also find a variety of tools for your local church ministry. Be sure to visit strivingtogether.com and let us know how we can help you and your church grow in God's grace.
When the confusion of culture clouds your vision and your perspective, the Word of God gives clarity. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to discover 2020 vision by reclaiming God's perspective on today's circumstances. Stay with us. Seems like the busyness of our lives and the chaotic nature of our culture at large tends to draw us into somewhat of a cloudy perspective of our lives and our purpose and why we're even here and what our lives are even about. And if you're like me, that's frustrating. But when you come to the Word of God, God tends to draw away all of the clouds and give you crystal clear perspective on what's important and what really matters. Welcome to today's edition of Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. We're going to gain 2020 vision today from the Word of God, a series by Pastor Chappell that's designed to help you have God's vision and God's perspective on the priorities of life. 2020 Vision is the title of this series, and we're looking forward to every step in the journey. If you miss one of the messages, or if you'd like to hear recent broadcasts of Daily in the Word, visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. By the way, we have a gift for you when you call or write to us this month. I'll tell you about that after today's message. But first, here's Paul Chappell to introduce today's message.
The Bible says that every Christian is running a race, and the race of the Christian life has one simple goal. That goal is the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I wonder today, my friend, what are you running for? As you hear this lesson today, think about it. All of the busyness of your life, all of the schedule that you keep, do you have the proper goal in mind? Let's turn to Hebrews 12 and learn that the focus of our race should always be the Lord Jesus Christ.
Trouble that I could see the headlines tomorrow. Baptist preacher sells drugs door to door, something like that, you know. The media is always looking for a good story. And I tell you what, I got into the car and I put my Bible on the passenger seat and I put my drugs right next to my Bible and I put my coat right on top of it and I buckled my seatbelt and obeyed every speed limit till I got over to a store that had a dumpster behind it and I threw that stuff back in the dumpster and drove on my way. But I'll tell you what, here was a man, he had only been a Christian just a few minutes, but the Holy Spirit was convicting him that he could not live the Christian life if he didn't set some of these things aside. And I see many times Christians who set these things aside, but then after a year or two, they'll get a little discouraged and they'll go back and pick up some of the old life, just a little here and a little there. And then they become even more discouraged to the point that they're not staying in the race that God has for them. I just want to challenge you this morning, not because I get a brownie point, not because it makes the church look any better, but because I want to see you win the race. What is it that you need to lay aside this morning in your life in order that you might be here a year from now and 5 years from now and have children one day to say, I had a daddy who finished strong. I had a mommy who loved Jesus. What will it take today? There will be a discipline in your life. Notice secondly, though, not only the discipline of the race, but I want you to see the design of the race. Now, how has the Lord designed this race? What is his idea of this life? I mean, is it just a race of futility and there's no purpose to it? Well, let's look again at verse 1 of our text. It says, "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now, this race that is set before us is individual. Every one of us have a different lane. We're not to compare ourselves one with another, but we are to find our lane, our course, and the Bible says, first of all, it is a design to run. God has designed that we would run this race. And I mean by this, he wants us to move forward. He wants us to capture new territory. He wants us to go onward forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul the apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24 these words, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul said, listen, I'm not just beating the air. He said, I want to connect. He said, I'm not just running around without any goal. He said, I want to please the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to receive that crown someday from him. Paul the apostle said, I want to run in order that I may obtain. I remember a man in our church who was saved many years ago, Brother Dan Migliori. He may be in here this morning. And I remember after Dan got saved, he and his family walked the aisle and all of the family accepted Christ on the same Sunday morning. And Dan came by those first few weeks of his salvation. He came by nearly every day, it seemed like, to the church. And he'd come from his job out at Edwards Air Force Base and he'd swing by and he'd find me. He'd say, Pastor Chappell, I have a question. I read so-and-so in the Bible. What does that mean? Why does it say that? And he'd come back again. He'd say, Pastor Chappell, you said something in your message Sunday morning. I didn't like what you said. I didn't understand it. Explain that to me. By the way, that's a mature man that will ask. An immature man will take an offense and never ask again. But a mature man will come and ask. And he came and said, I want to know what that means. And what about this verse? And what about that verse? Finally, I said, I've never met anybody with so many questions. And he said to me, he said, Pastor Chappell, he said, I just believe if I'm going to be a Christian, I want to be the best Christian I can be. I want to get off to a good start. He said, that's just the way I am. I want to be involved in this matter of being a Christian. And I thought, that's a great attitude. That's the way we ought to approach the Christian life. Just pouring ourselves into this. The Bible says, so run the race. God says we're to run to a prize. We're running to a prize. Philippians 2:16 says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We're not only to run for a prize, but we're to run to please him. Paul the apostle said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Notice verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Paul said, for every Christian who lives his life with the coming of Jesus in mind, for every Christian who lives with an anticipation that it's not just about here and now, but it's about the day when we see Christ, there will be a crown, there will be a reward that we will receive. And I believe it's important that we are challenged like this to live faithfully and to run faithfully our Christian life. Notice there in verse 1 again, it says, let us run. It's a design to run. But notice secondly, it says, let us run the race. Notice it says, with patience. Let us run with patience. It is a design to run with patience. Now, the word patience here means cheerful endurance. It means constancy. You know, as you run this life, this Christian race, you're going to find at times you'll be weary, and trials will come, and financial setbacks will come, and relationships will disrupt, and business will be up, and business will be down. And in this lifelong race, we must determine to be patient. Christopher Columbus, on his voyage to the Americas every day, would write a little something in his diary. But the thing that he wrote the most in his diary were just these little words that said, today we sailed on. Today we sailed on. You know, there will be days in your life where it's all you can do just to get up and go out and be faithful to God. But thank God for Christians who run with patience. James chapter 1 and verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God says, run with patience the race that is set before us. In Athens, long ago, there used to be games held in honor of the Greek gods and heroes. And one of the games that was run was a game that was called the Torch Race. This particular race was run in honor of Prometheus, one of the Greek gods. Now, this particular race involved racers going about a mile and a half outside of Athens, and they would light a torch. Each racer would hold a torch. They would then take the course of that race a mile and a half back into the city. And the person who reached the city limits with their torch still burning was pronounced the winner of the race. And I often think about that. I want to reach one day the end of this life with my torch still burning. I want to be on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want my testimony for Jesus to be known. I want my torch to be burning. I want to challenge you to run the race that's set before you, and yet run it patiently. Sometimes we can get ahead of God. Sometimes we can get so frustrated that the torch will go out. And here we see that we're to run with patience the race that is set before us. Now we see this morning the discipline of the race. It requires laying aside some things. And we see the design of the race, that we would run with patience the race that is set before us. But I want you to see finally this morning the designer of the race. The designer of the race. Who is the author of this journey called life? Who is the one who has put us on the track, if you will? It is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Again, we're not running from something, but we're running to someone. And the word here, looking, implies this, that if I will win the race, there's some things I must look away from, and there's someone I must focus on. I've found in my life that if I look at people, they will disappoint me. If I look to circumstances or the economy, it can disappoint me. This building we're seated in this morning was built not during the boom time, but during a tough time in our economy. And yet, we kept our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He completed the project. I'm simply saying this morning, we must be focused on the Lord as we run this race. The Bible says in Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, the whole body will be full of light. But if the eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, God says, I want your focus to be on my light. I want to illuminate your path. I want my word to be a light of your path. Now, the designer of this race is Jesus Christ. Notice a few things about Jesus this morning. It says in verse 2, He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is then the originator of the race. He is the originator of our faith. Oh, I love this part. Christ Jesus has already run the race. He has originated this race. He and He alone has accomplished the race with perfection, and He finished it victoriously, and He evidenced that with an empty tomb. And now Jesus Christ, who ran the perfect race, says, I want you to follow me. I want you to look to me. And Jesus said, I live the life without ever sinning, without ever failing. And if you'll watch me, you'll never be discouraged. Oh, thank God for godly people in the church and how their testimony lifts me up and it encourages me. But I want to tell you, Jesus never fails. And when we look to Him, we will never be discouraged. Oh, what a blessing. Oh, what a great truth this is, that He is the author and finisher of our faith. Micah 5:2 says, But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. This verse speaks about the coming of Jesus Christ into Bethlehem's manger. And the Bible says that His goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. Some of the false cults of this day would say that Jesus Christ began his existence at Bethlehem. But we know that Jesus was eternally pre-existent with God the Father, and that he is the author of our faith, and that he is the originator of our faith. But notice, secondly, he is the overcomer of our faith. For the Bible says he is the author and finisher of our faith. Thank God that what Jesus starts, Jesus finishes. He is the perfecter of our faith, and he will see us through to victory. Notice in verse 2 it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What was that joy? I believe the joy that was set before Jesus Christ, listen, I believe the joy that was set before Jesus was the fact that one day very soon he would be seated at the right hand of God, the Heavenly Father. And so for that joy that was set before him, he stayed in the race and allowed them to nail the nails through his hands and his feet and the crown of thorns upon his head. He didn't focus on the immediate moment of pain, but on the coming glory with the Father. And I say to you that one day, those of us who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we too will join with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And because of that, we ought to endure the difficulty of this day, and knowing that one day we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus endured the cross. Notice that. The Bible says in verse number 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The word endured means to abide under. It means to endure courageously. And I want you to picture this in your mind. Jesus Christ allowed the Roman soldier to put the spear through his side. Jesus Christ allowed them to stuff the sponge into his face. He did all of that courageously. Why? Because he loved you and he loved me. And he was faithful on that cross to display the love of God. The Bible says in James 1 and verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I just want to encourage you for a moment this morning. Sometimes in this race, there will be difficult laps. Sometimes there will be laps where you're not even sure you're going to make it around to the next course. But I just want to encourage you with the fact that if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll realize that he ran a very difficult race. And he says, now look to me and follow me and you'll be faithful. Sometimes those trials come in our children's lives and in our married lives and in all different realms of life. I heard about a man and his wife who were having such trouble in their marriage. They just could not get along. And it just seemed like every day the wife was unhappy and she always complained and screamed and yelled at her husband. Finally, they decided, I don't necessarily recommend this, but they decided that they would go and see a psychiatrist. They went into the psychiatrist's office, and boy, the minute they got in there, the lady began to scream and wail and moan and talk about how bad her husband was. Right in the middle of the tirade, the psychiatrist went over to that woman and he kissed her right on the lips. She stopped moaning and crying and kind of looked around. And the psychiatrist said to the man, now that's what your wife needs. The husband said, okay, I'll bring her here every Friday for that. Now sometimes it gets about that bad, doesn't it? You wonder, how am I going to go on? How can I be faithful? But I'm going to tell you, blessed is the man that endureth temptations and trials. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Notice the Bible says it here, that for the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured the cross. He endured the contradiction. Sometimes you will have contradiction because you live faithfully for God. Someone will make fun of you at work. They'll call you a preacher or a deacon or a goody-two-shoes or something even less kind than that. But Jesus despised the shame, and he endured that contradiction because he loves us. The Bible says in Psalm 69 and verse 20, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. Jesus Christ had those moments in his life where he wanted someone to have pity, but no one seemed to care. And yet I thank God this morning that while Jesus could have called 10,000 angels and said, take me away, I'm not going to stay. Why, with one spoken word, he could have taken the life of every Roman soldier and of Pontius Pilate and of all the rest of those involved in his hanging upon a cross. And yet his heart was filled not with rage, but his heart was filled with love. And Jesus Christ, who loved to the end, challenges us today. He says, as you run this race, look to me. I'll lead you on. I know what it is to have pain. I know what it is to have people contradict me. I know what it is to suffer and to have difficult days. But I didn't quit my race, and I went to the cross, and I rose up again on the third day. And so the challenge this morning, if we're going to win this race called the Christian life, is that we better keep our focus on Him. Oh, listen, not the bottom line. Listen, not what we can gain, but we better keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do, then we will finish the race. And we'll do it with joy. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Listen, the devil's going to come to you this week. He's going to say, why don't you just quit? I mean, what's all this about going to church? And now they're going to have missionaries come. And those missionaries are probably going to want you to pray for them and even to give them some finances. And why don't you just forget it all? I want to tell you something. When you become weary in your mind, take a fresh look at the cross of Jesus Christ. You remember what Jesus has done for you. The discipline of the race tells me to lay certain things aside. And the design of the race tells me to run with patience for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the designer of the race is Jesus himself. I'm to be looking unto the author and finisher of my faith, who for the joy that was set before him despised the shame and endured the cross. My friend, you'll never go wrong keeping your focus on Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you for these wonderful verses. Thank you for helping us to see what we must focus upon. Please, Lord, bless every decision made in this auditorium this morning. May our hearts be very tender towards you now. May our minds be very open to you and to your leading. May our eyes see you with faith believing.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell and the Daily in the Word radio broadcast coming to you from Lancaster, California, where Pastor Chappell serves as the senior pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College. The series is 2020 Vision. We're discovering God's perspective and God's vision for our daily lives. If today's message has encouraged you and you'd like to hear it again, or perhaps refer a friend, or listen to recent messages in this series 2020 Vision, you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org is a wonderful stop for spiritual resources to encourage your walk with Christ. You can listen to recent broadcasts, subscribe to a complimentary daily devotional from Dr. Chappell, or subscribe to the daily podcast and take Daily in the Word with you and listen to it at your leisure and at your convenience. Perhaps consider referring a friend to dailyintheword.org. Well, before we wrap up the program and share a gift with you, here's Pastor Chappell with a word of greeting.
Friend, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I believe the most important decision we ever make in this lifetime is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have never received that gift of salvation, right now you could take a moment and simply say to the Lord something like this: Dear Lord, I know that I fall short of your glory. I know that I'm a sinner. And I ask you now to come into my life, forgive my sin, and be my Savior. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you have just now put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, friend, I rejoice with you. And I encourage you to visit dailyintheword.org and request some free materials to help you get started in your Christian life. God bless you.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, we sure would like to hear from you this month. It's a joy to know that our ministry is touching your heart on a daily basis. And when you take time to write to us or call us this month, we have a gift we'd like to send to you. It's a mini book entitled Your Pastor and You, written by Pastor Chappell. It will encourage your relationship with your pastor at your local church. It will help you be an encouragement to the man of God who teaches and nurtures and shepherds your life and your family. Again, it's entitled Your Pastor and You. We want to send this to you free of charge. It's just our way of saying thank you for listening. Thank you for taking a moment to let us know that our ministry is a part of your life. The easiest way to contact us is to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org. You can click on the Contact Us tab and simply jot us an email. Let us know that this program is ministering to you. Also, when you're there, do consider contributing to this ministry, and your investment will help us to cover airtime costs on many of our stations and continue teaching and preaching the Word of God across the country. So your investment is a great investment into the work of God. The second way you can contact us is to just call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, you can send a letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Again, we rejoice to receive your letter, your email, or your phone call, and we would love to send you a copy of this little mini book entitled Your Pastor and You. Don't forget, our ministry is hosting a cruise to Alaska. You will enjoy the beauty of God's creation in a magnificent and marvelous way, as well as the preaching of Dr. Chappell and several guest speakers and special music from the Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. This cruise is happening August of 2011, just over 1 year from now. We're setting sail in August of 2011. We would love for you to join us. You can find out more information on the homepage of dailyintheword.org. Don't forget to be a part of the cruise to Alaska in 2011. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day. Thank you.